What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash. Very happy you've tuned in with us today. Today I have my guest, Dr. April Warhola, and she is going to be talking about the mysteries of chiropractic and healing in our bodies, both of humans and animals. And of course, as always, at the end of the show, I'll have a Peace Brain meditation, so stay tuned for that. It'll be about whatever we're talking about and just a wonderful transformative meditation. So let's begin our show. And of course, as always, I begin with a quote. And today's quote was channeled from Archangel Michael. And it's an unknown channeler. I don't know who channeled this. But this is a quote from Archangel Michael. Your body can be restored to perfect health. It will rejuvenate and replenish itself. It is being rewired to accommodate higher energies of love and balance. Bless your body and feel grateful for all it does for you. Do not criticize it for not fitting into the mold of what society tells you is perfect. It is an instrument of profound qualities, working diligently for your presence here. It is going through great changes and is under stress. Bless it, love it, and be most grateful for its presence, for without it, your journey on Earth is not possible. I like this quote because it really talks to me about how much our bodies are really miracle machines, and of course, it is our vehicle here on Earth for our spirit to be here, to be playing in this earthly realm. And we have this amazing ability to heal. Our bodies are really miracle machines. You know, when you get a cut, it takes a few days to heal. When you break a bone, it may take a few weeks. But all in all, the body knows how to heal. And when we are good to it and we are nice to it, it heals much faster and certainly can serve us better for whatever purpose each of us are here for. So today we'll be talking about the body, and as I said, both human and animals, and what it does for us and how it can support us, and how we can be whole in our being. So today, as I said, we have Dr. April Warhola, and she's a chiropractor and a certified animal chiropractor as well. And let me tell you a little bit about Dr. April. She grew up in a small town south of Atlanta, Sharpsburg, Georgia, and enjoyed a memorable childhood with her mom, dad, and two sisters. It was no mere chance that she decided to serve others through the healing power of chiropractic. Her grandfather was a pioneer in the profession, and two uncles are in the practice today. Years ago, while doing chiropractic mission work in the Dominican Republic and in Brazil, she had the opportunity to share chiropractic adjustments with thousands of people, many of whom were children. It was here that Dr. April realized that her own inspiration was to create a healing center where people could experience their path to a greater life beginning at birth. Today, she is fulfilling that life's purpose as a chiropractor serving families at the Cafe of Life in Grant Park, and that's here in Atlanta, Georgia. And there is no question that a special place resides in her heart for adjusting children. Today, Dr. April is known to be an intuitive healer, which shows up in her chiropractic care. As well as adjusting people, she enjoys connecting with animals, and earned a full certification in 2015 to adjust large and small animals. Her healing center in Grant Park brings together many types of practices, all with the ideas of integrating holistic, life-giving services under one roof. When April is not playing at her office, you can often find her exploring with her dogs, Zara, Augustus and Miss Violet, practicing yoga, gardening, or traveling the world. And her education background is this. She received her bachelor's degree in biology in 2003 from LaGrange College and moved to Spartanburg, South Carolina, to begin her chiropractic studies at Sherman College of Straight Chiropractic. 1 year into the program, she moved to Marietta, Georgia, and completed her Doctor of Chiropractic degree in 2007 at Life University. She is a pediatric and Webster certified, as well as certified animal chiropractic through IVCA. And you can find her on Facebook at Cafe of Life Grant Park or at Animal Chiropractic Atlanta. Her website, I love this, good choice, is comethrivewithme.com. That's comethrivewithme, comethrivewithme.com. And on Instagram, she's Cafe of Life Grant Park. Welcome, Dr. April, to the Peace Brain Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. It's so nice to be on the show with you. I'm excited about where we're going to go with this today, wherever that might be.
Yes, I agree. I'm so happy to have you on. You have done so many wonderful things, and I love that you've combined the science of the body and the chiropractic with your intuitive skills and your energy work. It is just a delight. I know you've been my chiropractor for several years, so it's a delight to have that combination. What kind of drew you to combining that? Did either of your uncles or your grandfather practice kind of an energetic chiropractic style or not?
Oh, very good question. I remember my grandfather was a very intellectual man. He was often found at his desk, deep into books, deep into writing, deep into studying the science and the art of chiropractic. And then his two sons, I think, are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. So one is a very sports, health science, scientific chiropractor, and the other uncle has told me before that maybe he shouldn't even be called a chiropractor. He's more of an energy worker, or some people call him a witch doctor. So he wonders if there's even a different name for him. So I think that maybe I got a blend of all of it.
I guess you did. That's really great to have both ends of the spectrum. So tell me a little bit more about chiropractic. It has come so far in the last, oh gosh, I don't know, I guess I would assume maybe 20 years or 25 years. I know when I was growing up, chiropractic was not really seen as a, I want to say, a legitimate medical kind of asset for people, and yet now it seems to become the norm. Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. I believe, you know, even when my grandfather was in practice, you're right, it was a tough profession because it was not backed a lot by science. It butted heads vigorously with the medical community. The founding chiropractors, some had been studying some other things such as magnetic healing. You know, to be honest, I think it was no accident, but I do believe someone stumbled upon an adjustment, the first adjustment, which was actually recorded to have brought a gentleman who had lost his hearing many years before. He got off the table from an adjustment and was able to hear again. And
wow.
It was like this huge change in this person's life has evolved into so many different directions since then. I know in the early 80s, insurance was a big part of why chiropractic was seen more for back pain and neck pain. It was a lot for billable codes and insurance. And then has evolved greatly since then because the understanding of what the capacity of what chiropractic healing can do for people now with a lot of the work behind the metaphysical structure, science, energetics. We're studying so many more things than we ever have before, including neurology, that the beauty of chiropractic to me is that in the early philosophical books, the chiropractors knew these grand capacities. And then, you know, it got into the world and it got jumbled and confused and had to explore it further. And it's made its way all the way. Like, so when you know, it's like from the end to now, I think we finally matched what the people knew way back in the early 1900s. I mean, I think now with the studies in the scientific realm, we're not able to prove anything beyond or lesser. We're actually just able to show the world what we've known all along.
That makes sense. And I really love that medicine is becoming more holistic, more looking at the entire body and different things that are happening in the person's life, and that they're all, I was going to say that there are alternatives out there, but it really isn't an alternative. It's just that we have both the beautiful medical profession and we have the beautiful what is called the alternative medical profession to choose from, and that it really is a blend of both that works best, I think.
Yeah, Gail, you said something in your quote that just made me smile so big. You said your body can be restored to perfect health. And in the philosophy of chiropractic, and when I was looking up chiropractic, and I looked up a definition of peace for this particular talk today, freedom from disturbances is one definition from peace. And in chiropractic, what we recognize is that the body is self-healing, it is self-developing, and it can be restored to that perfect health. The body is always striving towards that. And sometimes with these stressors in our life, whether they are emotional, chemical, or physical, they get out of balance, or that restoration is not there. The perfect balance is not there. There are some disturbances that show up in our life. And so chiropractic is, I wouldn't even call it an alternative medicine, because we're not required to diagnose the pain and treat that pain point. It's a very different way of approaching the body and saying, hey, body, I know that you have the information already, and somehow that's gotten a little tangled up. And with the adjustment, we can free that wherever that disturbance is. We call that subluxation. And restore this body to the perfection that it already is.
And that brings me to explore a little bit further about what you just said of, you know, most people, as you said, have thought about chiropractic as neck and back pain and things like that, and the actual bones being out of alignment perhaps. But we're talking about emotions and stress. So expand on that a little bit, because that obviously, emotions, stress, et cetera, life circumstances, can have a profound effect on our body's healing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't say if it's for everyone or if it just happens to be where I am. I know we're in a city. There's the hustle and bustle of Atlanta. However, many of the clients that I see, I would suggest that there's more of the emotional piece of interference showing up in the nervous system than typically there is a physical or chemical. I think that we're more conscientious about the food we're eating, the intake. I'm speaking, I guess, only for our community, right? Again, this doesn't actually apply to everybody. I don't know what everybody does. But in our community, a lot of the stress is from the work, the children, the, you know, bosses. What do I want to do with my life? Do I have enough money to do it? You know, who am I? There's just, you know, we're constantly inundated by that emotional world that we live in. So when I look at chiropractic and we shift out of that neck and back pain model and really truly look at that, what's underneath those bones, which is our brain, our spinal cord, and our nerves, that's the nervous system. So that's how our mind coordinates everything with our body. And when that coordination is disrupted, the body goes into a place that is what I would just term an oversympathetic state. So the body's nervous system can function either from this parasympathetic, which we call rest or relaxation, or the sympathetic, which is really fight or flight. that fight or flight system is only really intended to turn on, like literally if we are escaping danger. And so that should really ideally only be a 15 or 20 minute thing. We escape, we get to safety, and then the body turns off that sympathetic and goes back into that parasympathetic, that rest or relaxation place. So often what I see with the emotional component is that because of fear, worry, doubt, pain, the body gets stuck in this oversympathetic, and it just gets stuck there, which means all the systems of our body are overworking for no real apparent reason. It wears out the organs. It puts stress on the muscle and the tissue and the blood and the balance of hormones. So sometimes a big part of my job as a chiropractor is to really help the body just find a place of ease so it can go back into that parasympathetic mode and start to do more of that self-healing that it already knows how to do.
Sounds like you're describing a place of peace. You're bringing the body back to that peaceful place.
And yes, that's really important. That's exactly what I'm describing.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about, well, gosh, there's a lot of ways we could go here. I'd love to hear some stories. I'd love to know more about Cafe of Life. And I want to explore a little bit more about this place of peace within the body. Is it easy for people to get there? Are there other, I know I teach peace classes, for example, and we have a labyrinth out front in our yard that is a peace meditation garden, basically. But what would you suggest for people to find that peace when they're not obviously in your office getting adjusted?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think learning to listen to the body is a huge piece of it. The body, to me, is an entity that we have a relationship with. And, you know, we've got to honor and be kind to our bodies the same way that we are to our best friend, you know, to our child. And oftentimes when the body goes into that hypervigilant, oversympathetic place, when it's stuck there, well, it's really challenging to actually connect with what do I need right now. And that is the difficulty. That's why I think having someone that can assist you to move past that is so important, whether it is a chiropractor or a peace worker like yourself. So I think oftentimes with these adjustments, what I teach people when they're on the table is that the more clear we can get this nervous system and the more balanced and the more peaceful we can create the body within, the more clarity you're going to have on the outside. So after a few sessions at the Cafe of Life, oftentimes people will tell me like, wow, I feel pain now, or I was like numb almost to it. I couldn't feel it at all. And from that place, we can start to work. Okay, now that you feel it, now you're actually connected to your body, let's take some steps to move past it. And the people that already do feel that pain, that want to let it go, we get them to a place, you know, where they no longer have the pain. They have so much ease in their body. Then they're able to tune into those subtleties of like, I didn't realize that I even had digestive problems, but you know, now that I've got ease in my body, I recognize that when I eat this particular food, I get really bloated or gassy, or I feel really tired. So, you know, there's all these different avenues in, and I think a big part of it is just helping people get past that first big layer where they're just so confused by the chaos in their body that they really can't, they have a really hard time finding awareness. So in that place of awareness, then, yeah, there's like a yoga class, meditate. Let's figure out what are the right foods that your body actually wants. And I think that's different for every individual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It sounds like it's peeling an onion, you know, the different layers come forth and you discover something completely new underneath that old layer that now can be dealt with and addressed. Good job. You know, you brought an awareness to my mind when you were talking about getting in that place where you can't even address it, or the sympathetic nervous system is so overloaded. I'm thinking about my dogs, and when they get so excited that I can't get their attention. You know, it's like there's so much, they're so in the zone of this fight or flight, this excitement, that you literally have to kind of touch them and snap them out of it before any training can be done or anything can be done. And of course, watching the dog programs, you know, Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, whomever it is, says don't let them get to that point, because then it's hard to draw back. And I feel as humans, we can get to that point. That's what I hear you describing. That takes a little bit of time to draw back from and peel back those layers. So, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And unlike dogs, where they don't enjoy being in that place. You know, they really don't enjoy it at all. And it is a big responsibility of us as their owners to keep them from going there. People, for some reason,
enjoy it.
I'm not sure what the word is. I can't quite figure out if it's enjoying it or if it just starts to feel comfortable because they've just been there for so long. Mm-hmm. So we tend to do things like when we're exhausted, instead of listening and honoring the body and taking a nap, we tend to eat a lot of sugar or drink a couple cups of coffee. And those things just keep that body so overstimulated and just keep it amped up. So we're really wearing out the body more, but that's a confused place, because in that moment it's like, well, but I need more energy. So you go and grab the things that seem right in the moment, but they're really so counterintuitive. So it's, you know, it's interesting, like a dog wouldn't necessarily choose that, but people do. So there is a little bit of a learning curve there, I think.
Well, and also that gets back to society. You know, we have, I'll never forget, I used to love naps as a kid, but there was something about our household or the way my mother looked at me or said something, I don't know exactly what it was, but I felt like I couldn't take naps. It wasn't accepted. It's like you get up and you're awake during the day and you do your homework and you do this and that. And, of course, I got my homework done, et cetera. But I would always come home from school and feel like I needed a nap. But it wasn't, like, permitted. And so I feel like in society, particularly if one is at work, you know, from 8 to 5 or whatever, there's not a sanctioned nap time in our culture. Now, some cultures do. Like I know in Mexico, the siesta after lunch, you know, it's very, and over in Italy, when we were working there, it was everyone closed their doors for a couple of hours after the midday meal. So it's common to, in some cultures, but not in ours. So that's something to consider. We might want to institute that.
Yes, give yourself permission. I love that, Gail. It's like we just need to give ourselves permission. Give yourself permission to just lay down and close your eyes for a few minutes, you know, in the afternoon. You know, even if you're at the office, step out to your car on your lunch break. Go take a little walk. Get some fresh air. Move around, you know. And I wish that, you know, we could, I mean, that's something I'd love to work more on also, is educating corporate. You know, the more you actually give employees that time to get out in the sunshine, take a walk, exercise, the more productive they're going to be, the more happy they're going to be, and they're going to stick with you longer. You know, it's like that's part of it, mm-hmm. because they're going to have more peace in their life.
I agree. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the Cafe of Life and your vision for this holistic community.
Cafe of Life has just been this beautiful, ever-changing little, you know, being of its own. So I created a smaller version of it when I first opened back in 2008 after I graduated. I had a small chiropractic practice in the downstairs of a two-story loft, and the community actually reached out to me because they didn't have any type of healing or holistic center in the community at all. So I was getting calls from
massage therapists, birthing community, acupuncturists, yogis, most of which whom have been practicing out of their basements or in their home, or using spaces that were just not really ideal. So we collaborated in this little tiny space upstairs and figured out how to share it amongst the community. And I did have always in mind, I called it my 20-year plan, a community center where we could have like-minded healers and philosophies under one roof. And it was actually in 2 years that that space showed up, and I just said yes to it, even though I wasn't sure that I was quite ready. It ended up being such a beautiful gift, this space was. It's undergone its second renovation 1 year ago, almost exactly. And so we've got massage therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, Thai body workers. We've got nutrition assessments, chiropractic for people. And that's, I also see the small animals for chiropractic care in the office. And we've got this beautiful piece of land that is just a little gem in the middle of a city. It's got a couple of beautiful pecan trees on it. We've got about an acre of land. So as part of that vision, I'm really excited. Currently, we are in the process right now of building some pens in the backyard. We've already have a few garden beds, and we're going to include goats and chickens and bees in the backyard, just as part of the community center for children. We want to teach a little bit more about not wasting food and composting. So we're going to give the community little buckets and the ability to save their food scraps and teach them what chickens can eat and what goats can eat, and the rest can go in the garden. And it's just going to be available for the community to enjoy.
And you're in a beautiful location, too, right next to a wonderful nursery school. So there's the opportunity to work with the kids there. And you're next to the Mounted Patrol of the Atlanta Police Department. So you have all these beautiful horses next to you. And
yes.
What a gorgeous spot that was able to come about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And thank you. And you're a huge pat.
We'll have to put a labyrinth out front as a meditation garden and a peace pole to put you, make you officially a place of peace, so we can put you on the World Peace Trails map. That might be something that the community could make. Oh, goodness. So, stories. Do you have any great stories to share?
Yes. I have a lot of great stories. So you asked me a little bit about the animals. We haven't talked about that a whole lot. So I'll start with an animal story. Yeah. So how in the world does this nervous system and chiropractic work? I'll give you a couple different examples. So there was a sweet little dog. I think that even if you're not a dog lover, everybody probably knows what a Dachshund is, because they're known as like hot dogs or weenie dogs because of the shape of their body. They're really long and they have short little legs and a little pointy nose. They're quite characters. And if you can imagine, a gentleman came into the office holding one of these little dogs in his hand and laid him down on the table in front of me, and the little dog could not move a single limb. So, you know, as funny as it is to call them little hot dogs or weenie dogs or whatever their nicknames are, he actually just, you know, when he laid him on the table, he was just curled up underneath himself in one, you know, little tiny ball. And he told me that he knew about chiropractic because he used it on a dog that he had owned previously, who had passed away many years since. And he told me that Chester, the Dachshund, just happened to just wake up, and he wasn't using his front two legs that day. And by the end of that day, he wasn't using his back two legs, and he wanted to try chiropractic care first. So as I felt around his spine, there was a little place right in the middle of his back that I could tell had this disturbance, or, you know, again, the word we call that interference is subluxation. So I felt this luxation in the middle of Chester's back. I gave him one little adjustment. And the adjustments on animals and people, you know, it's a small force that goes into the nervous system, with the idea being that if the brain is not communicating or getting stuck in that particular area, we're both opening and freeing up that space, but we're also, the input is also giving what's called positive feedback into the brain so that the brain acknowledges that area and then does whatever healing it needs to do there. So just with that one adjustment, I set Chester down on the ground. I stretched his four little legs out just to see what was possible. And he stood there for a moment and looked at his dad, gave me a big giant shake, which shaking is how dogs oftentimes integrate the changes that are made in their bodies. And then just wobbly walked to the door. We opened the door. He wobbled a little bit down the hall. And the next thing you know, his dad's paying up the bill at the front desk and tells me to look outside, and Chester's just walking through the front yard just as happy as can be.
Wow.
So that was about a year and a half ago, and Chester actually has a visit with us this afternoon, so now he's just getting checked for maintenance. But he's been running and playing and jumping into the car and acting like, you know, his old self again. So, you know, that's just one little story. You know, what does chiropractic have to do with walking? You know, what does it have to do with, you know, that the dog didn't necessarily have back pain. He actually couldn't use his limbs at all. And just from freeing up that little bit of interference, we gave this dog an opportunity to have his life back. So, you know, it's just a really beautiful story, and we see things like that happen pretty frequently.
Wow. No, great story. Thanks for sharing that. It's so important to realize that sometimes when, as you just said, there can be one little minor adjustment or one little thing out of our body, out of alignment and out of balance, shall I say, and yet it can affect the whole system. It can affect this big life change. And yet we get, I know that people, and I sometimes, would go into fear if there's something out of balance that I don't know how to bring back. And yet it may be something as simple as you just described, as one movement, one reminder to the brain and the body that, oh, this is the way it goes back together. And the body knows, and so it can. Yeah. So whenever humans get into this place, we make up a story about it. We create this big, long, I want to say story in our head, in other words, of what could be wrong and all the different things. And as you said, we probably amp up our sympathetic nervous system because we go into that fear, that flight or fight with something's wrong and we're never going to be well and et cetera, whatever the story may be. When in fact, if we were like an animal and just would stop for a moment and assess and go, okay, what does my body really need? And obviously chiropractic as a first choice, I know is a fabulous thing, because then you get your nerves talking to each other. You get your body talking, your brain and your nerves, and it could solve whatever the issue is right there.
That's right. That's right. And the thing I love about animals is exactly what you said. They don't have concepts or judgments or resistance to healing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very confident to be able to tell an owner, you know, we're going to know really quickly if this animal can heal or not. I don't need to waste your time. You know, if we're not seeing change in the first couple of visits, you know, we need to do something else. And it's because, you know, we don't have to work through layers of not wanting to or wanting to, or, you know, what, you know, like you said, what did you learn as a child that you could do or you couldn't do? Animals don't have any of that. They're like, oh, cool, my body works again? Great. All right, let's just move on, you know? Like, this is awesome.
There's so much in present time, you know, and we hold on to the past or the possible futures we're creating and get stuck there rather than just being in present time, present moment, and really, okay, what do I need right this minute? Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Great story. Any other, I mean, wonderful stories with either animals or humans? I know you work with horses a lot. Tell us a little bit about that. That must be really interesting.
Yeah, horses are beautiful creatures, and the more I am around them and the more I'm learning about them, the more I enjoy them. They are, for the most part, just these creatures that really, really desire for us to be happy and have joy. And for them, you know, they want to have joy in their life. And they're really grateful creatures as well. So a lot of people ask me, how do I adjust a horse? I'm not that big of a person.
We are
taught in school how to use our hands. So we do adjustments with our hands, and I have a big bale made out of marine grade styrofoam that's made to represent, you know, an old fashioned hay bale. How else would you get up on a horse, you know? So I carry around this styrofoam bale in order to climb. You know, I wouldn't climb on the horse, but I would climb on the bale in order to be above the horse's back and spine. And, I connect with the animal the same way I would a person or a dog or cat. And any places where I feel those interferences in the system, I learned techniques to adjust them. Now, with a horse, you know, maybe I could get away with forcing a dog into a position. Maybe I could either ask for help or, you know, get a human body maneuvered into a position. But a horse isn't going to go for that. So horses have taught me the most to absolutely be present with them 100% because I actually require them to assist me and to move with me and to allow me to work with their bodies. And when they do, it's quite easy. I mean, there's an ease about it. Their hips move. You know, I can get over their neck and just let the neck drop over my shoulder. And, you know, we clear up the poles top and bottom. And horses give us a magnificent presentation of feedback also. So when we talk about that hypervigilance or that oversympathetic state, a lot of horses are in that because they're worked hard. I mean, they, you know, whether it's training or, riding a bunch of different people on their backs all day long or in competition or racing, you know, horses are very, very hard workers. And so oftentimes I do find that they're pretty stuck or hypervigilant in their poles. And which is the upper part of their neck. And when you adjust them and give them that space, that freedom in their body, they'll give us a big breath. They'll do the quivering of their lips. They'll stick their tongues way out and yawn. Sometimes they'll move their gums really big. And all of that is because the horse's nerve got a ton of nerve in their jaws and cheeks. And so the way that a dog will shake their body to integrate that energy space and clarity, the horse does a lot of mouth movement to show us that because they're resituating the nerves on the jaws. And so many times the horse will just drop its eyes shut, drop the head way down, and just take this most peaceful breath. So we get a lot of cues if we're on the right track with horses. You know, that is going to kick you or swat you with their tail or, you know, tell you, get out of there. if you're not being present enough with them.
Right.
But they're magnificent animals to work with.
Wow. That must be exciting. Yes. And you're right. You would need their cooperation to get it done. And obviously they're very in tune that you're helping them, I'm sure, and want to work with you when they're, you know, when they can. Oh my goodness. So babies, I know you work with babies. You had mentioned in your bio that you worked with a lot of children when you were in Brazil and the Dominican Republic, and that you really want to help people from birth on. So why would a baby need adjusting other than, as I know with our puppies that we've birthed, that when they come out of the birth canal, sometimes they can be kind of misaligned and probably need an alignment right after that. But babies are kind of like rubber. Do they get out of alignment?
Yeah.
Do they get these subluxations?
Yeah. I love the way you've basically told my whole story in your question. Yes, babies are like rubber. So the most important parts of the baby are their little cranial bones, which are still not fused together yet. Their atlas, which is the very soft vertebra in their spine, and their little sacrums, because that's really just about what you can access. If they are super systematic and clearing those little parts don't work. Sometimes we do look in the middle of their back, but as you said, the bones are still so very soft that usually that's not even the problem exists. And you know, whether we like it or not, birth can be, I think, innately is a very beautiful process, and culturally, it's unfortunately turned into more of a traumatic event than it is the beautiful event that can be. And even with an ideal birth, stressors from the parents can be taken on by that baby. And any time that the baby has been, touched by hands, even if a doctor's trying to help the baby come out, sometimes it'll twist its little neck and give it a pull. Obviously, if there's a cesarean section, that's a trauma. That's a surgery. You know, that's not a normal, natural birth. So there's a whole set of things that can potentially not set the baby up for the best start. So we don't have to say it's necessarily wrong. There may not be symptoms that show up, but there's definitely an opportunity for chiropractors to give the baby an even better start. However, we do see a lot of symptoms, the colic, the ear infections, constipation, not being able to latch to breastfeed. Those are all early, early things that we see in babies that, as a first step, getting checked by a chiropractor, isn't just, a good option. It's almost like the essential first option, because just an adjustment to that atlas, an adjustment to that very top little vertebra for a baby can be all the change that's required. I do recall one of the most touching stories with a baby in my own practice was someone that I've known for a while. She had her second daughter, and I didn't see her. I saw her through the pregnancy, and then I didn't see her again for a while. I think it was about 2 months. She brought this baby into my office. I've never myself seen anything like it before. Basically, it was not thriving. And so the skin was dry. You could see every little bone in the body. It wasn't gaining weight. It was actually losing weight every day. It wasn't eating, and it was just crying 24 hours a day. So you can only imagine this mother was, exhausted, emotionally drained on every level. And she's holding this baby that really doesn't, look like, you're not sure if it's going to make it or not. And really within two adjustments, after the first adjustment, which in a baby, by the way, is just a very light sustained pressure on that very specific area of the nervous system where that interference exists. So just that simple light sustained pressure for a few minutes. I worked with a little bit of the cranial stuff. Mom took the baby home, and I saw her 2 days later, and she just looked at me. She couldn't get a word out of her mouth. She was crying so hard. She said, my baby slept for 5 hours after we left the adjustment, and she's eaten 3 meals since we saw you. It was a different child, and 2 or 3 adjustments later, they were totally back on track. The skin, the tone of the skin became normal again. She started gaining weight, and she's a beautiful, I think she might be a beautiful 6-year-old now. So it's like that. There are moments where you think this really is critical, life or death, and so it can be that important.
Well, and very much like the dachshund, one little out of alignment can really make a huge difference in one's life. And thank you for sharing that. That it feels like chiropractic needs to be on the list of every medical doctor, every OBGYN who births a baby, to say, okay, you've birthed the baby successfully, now go see your chiropractor, for an adjustment. How can we as a society make that happen?
Yeah, I love that, Gail, and I think this feels like a really good time to give a big thanks to the community who has actually just within the year opened the Atlanta Birth Center. And at the Atlanta Birth Center, they have chiropractors that are there for the delivery, they're there for the birth, and those babies that are birthed at the birth center are checked the minute they come out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there are people that have acknowledged this, and we are starting to work together. I'm so grateful. I know that my grandfather and when both of my uncles, as they went through their practices, it was a constant battle between the professions. And I feel so lucky that I have a beautiful network of OBs, of midwives, of pediatric doctors, of veterinarians who were all willing to listen, to work together, and to understand that we each have a capacity and a really amazing gift to offer. We don't have to be selfish. The most important thing is actually to do what's right for that person or that animal.
Mm-hmm. And obviously to all of you listeners out there, thank you for tuning into this, because you have a choice as a caretaker of your animal, or obviously a parent of your children or friends or family, that to promote this helping the body be in perfect health, as the quote said from the very beginning, and to give certainly a new life, the best life it can start out with and go forward with. So we're getting towards the end of our show. Within the next 2-3 minutes, what sort of final words of wisdom do you want to impart to our listeners?
I'd like to thank you so much for the work that you do in offering all of these different avenues for peace. Peace is what allows our body to heal. Peace is what brings different professions together. Peace is what builds community so that we can learn about all these different amazing people in our neighborhoods and across the world. You know, and I would just really love to offer the gift to our listeners, you know, to listen to your body, to really gift yourself that knowing, you know, whatever thing is there small, whether it's walking a labyrinth or seeing a chiropractor or taking that nap in the afternoon, you know, you are your own best doctor. I know that there's always that little sense within people that they really do know what they're looking for. Sometimes they just are having a difficult time finding it. You know, if you are in that space where you're in that overwhelmed place and you really just can't figure out where to go or what to do, you know, feel free. I know that Dr. Lash is, you know, just so lovely in being able to offer recommendations and connections, and I would love to also offer that. Jump on the website again, which is comethrivewithme.com. My email address is there if you're looking for someone to connect with. I do have a beautiful referral of chiropractors, you know, definitely in the U.S. I know some around the world. I'd love to refer you to someone if you're just looking for a little bit of extra help, so feel free to be in touch.
Thank you so much. That's a very generous and beautiful offer. Well, you're living an amazing life, working with animals and people and creating community, and that is what peace is all about. So thank you, Dr. April, for tuning into the Peace Brain Show and being our guest and sharing your story with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So everyone take a breath. We're going to go into the Peace Brain meditation. And as always, I encourage you to create a grounding cord, that beautiful energetic connection between your body and the center of the planet. And you can visualize a beam of light or a tree trunk or a strand of roses or a monkey's tail, whatever works for you. I like to use a monkey's tail sometimes, or a tree trunk or a beam of light. So from your last vertebrae all the way down to the center of Mother Earth, go ahead and plug in, connect. Connect you and your body and the center of the planet of Mother Earth. And allow all of those energies that are of the past, of the possible futures you've been thinking about, just to flow down the grounding cord and really be in present time, in present moment. much like as we talked about an animal is, one of your pets, they are in present moment, this moment. So take a breath, be present, and I encourage you to also say hello to your body. Just say hello. Notice how your body feels. The grounding cord tends to stabilize bodies, so you may feel more solid or stable right at the moment. But take a breath and realize, okay, how does my body feel sitting in this chair or driving this car or laying down listening to this show? Whatever you're doing, notice where your body touches the fabric of whatever you're sitting on or the texture. Notice how your body feels in that position. Maybe you need to move your feet a bit or move your arms, change the tilt of your head. So say hello to your body. What is it telling you right at this moment as you sit here listening to my voice? Is it saying, I'm hungry? Is it saying, I feel comfortable? Is it saying, my right knee is a little hurting? I twisted it yesterday. Maybe your toe or your foot, you stepped wrong and it needs to be kind of stretched out. Just notice. Notice what your body's saying to you. And say hello back in your mind. Or you can do it out loud. Say hello to that knee or that foot. And go ahead and give it a stretch. Maybe shift your position in your chair. Get more comfortable. If you're hungry, think about what you may have for lunch or dinner or breakfast. And take a breath and feel the breath in your body. Is it clear? Feel your lungs as they fill up with that breath. And I invite you in the center of your head, in this beautiful space that is your control center for your body, for your mind and your awareness, to create this room in the center of your head that you can look out into the world. This is kind of above your eyes and behind your eyes in the middle of your head. And no one else belongs in the center of your head but you. Just your awareness, your consciousness. So be in the center of your head, saying hello to your body, looking out into the world, almost like you're looking into a movie screen, into the world. And ask, body, what do you need from me? And see what answer comes back to you. Do you need a nap? Do you need more water, more liquids? Do you need spicy foods or something tart? Do you need to take a walk? Do you need to just stand up and stretch? Do you need more sleep? You can begin to tune into your body and say hello. And on this movie screen from the center of your head, I invite you to create this beautiful, peaceful place, whatever that may look like. It could be by the seashore. It could be in the mountains next to a babbling brook. It could be in a meadow of flowers. It could be in a beautiful log cabin in the woods. It could be wherever you feel comfortable, a beautiful library with a fire going in the fireplace. Wherever it is, take yourself there. Bring your consciousness to that place of peace, your peace sanctuary. And see this in your center of your head, in your mind's eye. And feel your body relax there. Go there in total peace, total present moment, not concerned with the past, not concerned with the future. Just be there in this moment now. and take a breath. Let your body relax in this peace sanctuary. Let your body be at ease and have freedom to move around, to stretch out, to sleep, to eat, whatever your body needs. This is your peace sanctuary, and you can bring your body to it in your mind at any time you choose. So notice this beautiful place. Notice how your body feels when you give yourself just this couple of minutes in its peace sanctuary, in this place of relaxation, where the emotions can be calm, where the drama can fall away, where you can allow your sympathetic nervous system to turn off and be in that parasympathetic nervous system state of relaxation and ease. So take a breath and be there, and I invite you to bring your awareness back to where you are, sitting in your chair or your room, your car, your bed, wherever you are. And still know that that peace sanctuary is there in the middle of your head for you to go to at any time, any moment. This is your timeout place, if you will, your place of peace, where you can listen to your body and ask it what it needs right this minute or this day, and then honor it, honor your body, and follow its instructions. So bring yourself back to your awareness. Thanks for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today and listening to that Peace Brain meditation. And thank you so much to Dr. April Wahola, our guest today, the chiropractor and animal chiropractor. You can find out more about Dr. April at her website, comethrivewithme.com, or go to her Facebook page, Cafe of Life, Grant Park. So please tune in to the Peace Brain Show in the future, and tune in to your Peace Brain mind, your Peace Brain, which connects your mind and your heart. Go into that place of peace often. And until next week, next time when we get together, I want you to practice this and be at peace. If you want to connect with me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can go to my website, tourismforpeace.com, or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So for now, go forth, activate the Peace Brain, hang out in your peace sanctuary, and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many, many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.